to the Daniel Town Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, October 15th, 2025, at 7 p.m. Wasatch County Services Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East in Weaver City. We'll start with item number one, which is public comment for anything that's not on the agenda. So if we have anyone that's got any comments? Okay, if nothing, let's move to item two. Do you have a motion to open the public hearing?
What's a motion to open the public hearing?
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call for vote.
Skinner, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Yes. Okay, is there anyone here?
Want me to, there was a pulpit here before.
Yeah, it is.
I can just stand here.
Just keep getting further back.
I'll stand and face that wall.
That might work.
No, I appreciate being here in this Wall Street evening. As is noted in the agenda here, we had asked for a continuation from the previous planning meeting. I was out of town and apologize I couldn't be here. But my name's Mark Skousen and I'm ready, representing JDCO LLC. We're a landowner here in Daniel. Let me just give you a quick little background on what we're trying to do here. About a year ago, November 18, 2024, our LLC purchased approximately 5 acres of land from Scott Keel, located on 2530 South Daniels Road. And I've just noted the parcel numbers. There's two parcels that we purchased. About 75% of the back parcel is zoned industrial, and about 25% of our total acreage is fronts Daniels Road, and it's RA1.
Actually, RA5.
Is it RA5?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have the zoning map. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What we're trying to do is... And I think there's maybe a little bit of confusion here as I talk to some of the council members. But the previous owner was coming in with a different plan than we're trying to do. We're trying to rezone the entire parcel, or that RA5, if it's RA5, to industrial, to be able to access our industrial property. Talked a lot with Eric, and seems like the best route is a rezone and to try and cross the RA5 to get back to the industrial. What we're really trying to do is just build an office, kind of a two-story office building, pretty modest, and use the back to park some trucks, probably 5 to 7 trucks. We would have parking in the front. It would be, like I said, a nice building fronting the South Daniels Road, and then probably road base or hard gravel, a non-dust environment for the back, a small garage to do some minor maintenance. But there's a lot of business that, it's for Hadco Construction, but there's a lot of business they do here in the Wasatch back. And instead of driving up the canyon, they want to be able to park some trucks up here and continue to kind of service the clients up in this area. So I think some of the misrepresentation before is we're trying to do another mixing yard and a whole bunch of things. We're not. It's just a simple office building with some parking on the back on the industrial piece is what we're trying to do. And we realize that, you know, zoning has the ultimate authority here. We're even willing to enter into a development agreement limiting some of our uses on the industrial because we're not, I know, part of the concern on the town council meeting that I came to is it setting precedent. There's like 6 other properties that have industrial on the back and residential on the front, and we don't want to set precedent that I know you guys and the council have ultimate authority on zoning changes, and so we're willing to even limit what we can do on that property, but that's big picture what we're trying to do. So I wanted to help you understand that and open it up for any questions that the commission might have for us on what we're trying to do.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
trucks are we talking about?
Probably 5 to 7 dump trucks. There could be some bigger trucks, but that's generally we're going to do dump trucks and maybe 3 to 4 just regular size pickup trucks that would be parked there. The plan is to, those trucks will probably leave between 7 and 7:30 in the morning and come back around 5 or 5:30 or 6 at night. And they're not going to be in and out all day. It's just leave in the morning, come back at night.
So it's more like a storage lot for
they're
trucks.
They're parking on the back.
Parking lots,
yeah,
right.
We're going to park on the back, have the employees
business
on the front in a, like I said, an attractive office, new office building there. There's an old residential house there. It's not super attractive right now, but we would obviously conform to anything on the building codes of what we needed to do there. But
that's the brown house, I think, that's currently rented or occupied.
Yeah.
So only access point would be via Daniels Road?
That's the only one. We've explored coming in the back. Unfortunately, that land's all leased right now, and it would have to be a sublease through that, I guess, that existing pit approval, the cement plant back there, but we're not likely to get that access. But we're not doing the same thing as them. Like I said, it's more mostly a parking area and a small repair shop if like a truck broke down or something.
Concerns. I don't think Daniels Road is envisioned as an industrial byway, but it's becoming more and more of that. This just adds to that same degree of traffic, type of traffic. So standard work hours in terms of back and forth?
Yeah, usually, like I said, they out around 7:30 and then back around 5:30, 6 o'clock. So it's going to be pretty standard business hours.
Okay, does the public have any comments?
Like I said, we want to work with the council.
I just have one question.
Oh, sorry.
You're going to build a two-story building for a simple office.
It may not be two stories. It could be a single story. But it's probably for less than 10 employees, 10 or so employees.
What would those employees be doing?
It would be driving the trucks or some administrative for this office back here.
So it'll be a satellite office for Hatco Construction.
That's right. Which would, you know, potentially, I don't know if those people currently live in the community, but it would give an opportunity to, you know, potentially employ some people up here and add some tax base as well. But it's not going to be a big operation.
What are your water needs?
Minimal. I mean, they'd probably, you know, spray down trucks every once in a while, run a bathroom. I mean, it's minimal water needs. Dust control if we needed to, but like I said, we're planning on doing kind of a rock base or a road base on the back, so.
I feel like we've heard about this at the meeting, but 2 or 3 or 4 times, it's been varying plans. Have we had a public hearing or not?
This is this.
This is.
We continue to
And that's what I want to clear up though, because 2 other times when Scott came, he was pitching something totally different. It's under new ownership. He's no way, and like this property was purchased from Scott Keel. He runs a cement company. This is not that. And so that there was some confusion, and I want to make sure it's perfectly clear that he has nothing to do with this. This isn't what you have heard 2 other times. This is a new concept.
I'm wondering if he gave you the accurate information, because he came in with saying he wants to access that back lot via Daniels Road.
That's correct. That's what you're trying to do.
Scott did. He was. Yeah,
that's exactly what he came for us looking to do.
But for a different use, he wanted to do it.
The use doesn't really matter. It's the access off of Daniels Road. So the issue we had with Keel is that we could rezone it and let you use it on your conditions, but once you sell it to somebody else, we lose all control. And so if we zone it industrial for you, and we was the thing that we had with Keel. I don't know if he told you he was trying to do a concrete plan, but all he wanted to do was just drive through it. And he wanted to access it from Daniels Road. And the real situation that I've seen for sitting through all these meetings, I mean, I don't know if I'm accurate with this, but it doesn't seem like that lot is ever going to be accessible unless it comes in from the backside. Because of the way that this township is set up, it's set up with the border to buffer the industrial zone, and there's no industrial access off of Daniels Road. With those two situations, those two scenarios, it kind of sets it to where it's inaccessible until something comes in from the industrial park.
Which is landlocked right now.
Which is a predicament. And we told Keel this last time. And he said, well, you're just going to push it off to the next guy. And I said, well, that's based on your ethics.
Could you carry over a development agreement on sale? Because we're willing to, we do a lot of development agreements with municipalities. I'm wondering if it doesn't get passed to the next guy, like they have to conform to a development agreement that got put in place. It might hurt the marketability of the property, but just enforce that a development agreement has to go with the land, flow with the land.
Yeah, you can record against the title, but it has to be recorded at the county courthouse.
Against the title, so we're
yeah, against the property. Yeah, that's what we did with some of our easements. Record that against the property so that if anybody does a title search, that comes up.
You can limit through a development agreement what goes on there.
He withdrew his application before.
And I do have a map if anybody doesn't know where that property is, how it's.
I have a map too of what we're looking to do that might be helpful.
I think that was included in the packet line. I remember looking at it.
It's actually the family's property. So
okay.
I know exactly where.
No, I'm talking about a site map. What we're trying to do. This would be the frontage. Yeah, I can see this line. Okay.
Well, there's not any public, no public, maybe a public person is going to speak, but I was at the town council meeting and the neighbors were against it because of the traffic concerns and the road's not really built to carry dump trucks. And they were concerned about it breaking down more than it already is broken down. So it seemed like the neighbors in that area were not interested in it, which is where I come from, is that, you know, what they desire. They're the ones that live there and have to put up with the noise, dust, all the things that we all know about.
Yeah, I heard those comments too.
Yeah, you were there.
I think we can mitigate a lot of that. Like, we can't mitigate traffic on that road necessarily, but it's going to happen early in the morning and kind of business hours. It's not going to be like all day traffic on that road. And obviously we can control dust, and we can, like I said, the noise is trucks starting up in the morning and driving out, which is not terrible noise. I mean, it's noise, but.
A couple of them, or maybe one person, verbalized their concern with the school kids walking, because I think school kids do walk along there. I don't live there, so I don't know that, but they did verbalize that concern, safety.
Yeah.
So. I hear your pain and I also hear theirs. So it's a difficult situation. But the person you're representing bought the land with the knowledge that it is what it is.
Yes.
I'm sure they were hoping they could change it.
Well, what they were hopeful of is, and as we've dug into it, we obviously know that we have ultimate zoning authority. What we thought is because the master plan of the city showed the industrial, there's no
access.
They thought there's no way that they can limit us from using that use because we're conforming all the guidelines and rule, you know, zoning regulation. I mean, we're not doing anything that except what you're asking us to do, but we just can't utilize that property right in its current state. So I think that was probably the hope when they bought it.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Was that brought to the planning commission meeting before the purchase was made? Like, was during due diligence, was that
this concept?
Yeah, like what you're able to do on it.
No, I don't know. I wasn't involved at that point.
Probably not.
It was a year, like I said, about a year ago. And
so it's, sorry, the two parcels of what size? What's the front one? It's zoned RA5, how big is the front?
Acre and change.
Zoning map here, I can show you.
I think for the zoning map, the front, and I won't call it a parcel, the tax, well, I guess I'd call it a tax parcel, because it's not, I'm not sure, but I do believe that it was not subdivided legally, and so it was subdivided into two tax parcels. It's still one parcel. And so it's about the front 2 acres, look like they're
right here. So that much is
in. Is it a couple acres in front? A
couple acres in front on the zoning map that show residential and, I mean, it's a
total parcel. I can look at the map. I don't know, Eric, do you know how much that front parcel is versus the back on the edge?
I don't think it's any consequence. I was just curious. You own both parcels, yes?
Yeah, we own both parcels. Yep, exactly.
Oops. Is there an easement option for him to have right away through the front RA5 parcel?
You know, I don't know.
I don't like getting rid of a buffer that doesn't exactly
right
maintain the buffer, but it does officially from a zoning perspective.
Couldn't you accomplish the same thing with a development agreement? Because this concern of traffic on Daniels Road is the same whether you give an easement or you change the zone. But the zone, the development agreement, I think we would be okay with either, but we do want to build that small office on the front. And if we could build that on the residential piece, then.
Can I ask a question? How big is that office, that small office on your plans?
I've got the dimensions here. This is small. Have you seen the diagram of it?
Yeah, but I don't recall it being small.
It looks like.
So your answer is 1.12 on the front and 3.363 on the back. That's what the taxing parcels are.
1.12 and 3.6.
If you were to look at
the shop area, is 11,000.
Zoning area, isn't it about 2 in the residential?
Right, the zone doesn't follow that parcel map.
Yeah.
If you guys want to look at that, it shows really clear on this map. Just the back, you can see that parcel here where it ends. Sorry, RA5 back to here, and I'm going to get that back.
Can I steal that back?
Oh, yeah.
If you write notes on that, I just
want to show that. A little bit bigger, I see, with that, the way they did the parcel.
Interesting. So this is the parcel.
Yep.
You can see that the industrial zone starts about halfway through the back hanging parcel.
Surprise, Marsh is not here.
She was here last night. I've actually talked to her quite a bit. We had a really good conversation. She wants us to put horses back in. Would be big enough to be able to drive a truck through,
right.
Work on it, and then drive out.
Right.
So it's not just a small office.
The office is fairly small. It's like a 3,000 square foot office.
Couple bay shop or a
couple
bay?
Yeah, probably single bay shop.
So is it a 12,000 square foot shop or is it a 3,000 square foot office?
So let me show you this.
Both.
Two separate buildings.
12,000 square foot shop.
Two separate buildings.
Well, it's one building.
See that? I only see one building.
So the office is right here and then the shop.
That's more like.
Sorry, it's just so tiny.
It is. I need a bigger diagram on that.
That's a large building right there. And that's just one story?
This is a very draft site plan. Like if we needed to shrink the size or like this is a first whack. And so this is where this development agreement comes in. It's like, okay, if we're limited to a certain size of a shop, we obviously, you know, need it to be functional, but if there's strong feelings on size or one story, two story, like we're willing to work with obviously within a set of guidelines that you guys would feel comfortable with, because we really don't have a lot of other options to use that land if we can't do this. So we're hoping to have a workable solution.
So aside from maybe providing some jobs for people that live in Daniel, like what are the benefits of having this changed? I'm just trying to figure out, like, do the benefits outweigh the increased traffic or the concerns that neighbors have of kids playing outside, like, from your perspective? Like, is there a tax benefit to the town? Is the town making money off of this?
Job creation perspective, but otherwise, no.
Job creation, like I said, employment, and then, I mean, probably doesn't matter to you guys, less traffic up and down the canyon, because they're based out of Lehigh, so it allows us to service this market a lot better up here.
Right, and I get that, but also it's less traffic in the canyon, more traffic on 3000, more Daniels Road, or whatever, where you're driving past.
Traffic somewhere.
People's houses with little kids. I mean, I have little kids. I live on Mill Road. This is the first time I've heard of this, but personally, I don't like it. That's just one guy speaking from.
It is public comment.
Yeah, I mean, if this were trying to go down on Mill Road, I would voice my opinion as to I wouldn't want that.
Oh, I'm a resident of a community as well, so I hear that, but I also know that the commission represents the landowners as well, and so it's kind of this, it's a little bit of give and take. And we're trying to be good neighbors. I don't want to create a dangerous situation, obviously, for kids. I have kids, so I don't know if there's a better way than South Daniel coming in. I know you got to hit a section of it, but coming in a different way, maybe that's a workaround that doesn't come by some of the residential. Or there's, you know, some improvements we put on South Daniels Road that creates I don't know if there's a sidewalk there, but maybe there's a pedestrian thing, but where it makes it a safer environment. I mean, I think there are workable solutions that could potentially mitigate some of the concerns there.
Have you scoped out any, you pretty much back up to the batch plan, it looks like?
There's one little parcel right behind us, but the batch plant has all that land from the farmers back there, from what I understand.
Is there any option to get an access road back there? That's my biggest concern is Daniels Road. We're breaking what is a pretty solid, consistent residential layer for one industrial, which doesn't make sense. And the simplest solution is find a way to get back to Airport Road off of whatever this is. Which is basically that's the access point for the batch plant, but it's the corner.
You'd have to go through the batch plant.
Well, there's the corner of that parcel looks like it's. So that's the road. You back up to here.
Yeah, so we lease this land and this land, so it'd be a kind of a sublease thing.
Being smarter, so yeah,
no, I mean, I've been
some sort of a base type road to get some connectivity there. That scratches.
I mean, there's six other properties that are, that have the same issue on that. They don't come with any proposal to do anything there.
I don't know if you have.
Not since I've been here, just this one. And you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for using, you like, probably, I hate when you have lots that are smaller than 5 acres. So, I'm not against that, but I am just trying to stick to the rules of the Daniels Road and industrial, so.
So the reason that those properties are there is if you look at the land use plan, that's there as a buffer from the industrial area, and that's the way it's been planned from county times in 1999, I guess it was.
There's nothing to, basically Delta Stone is the first break of that, right?
They actually had a 500-foot buffer on the front of that one.
Delta Stone does?
They did when we was a township, and when the township was dissolved. But they are restricted on the front of that property. I don't think they are now that they've annexed into Heber. But they did have a development agreement on the front of that.
And we could buffer it. It doesn't help with Daniels Road traffic, but we could buffer that back. The lot's long.
It is.
And so you could move it back if you wanted more buffer. It's kind of butted up against the road right now, but with as few of the trucks as we're parking on there, we could definitely move it back.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
I got one. So 7 to 10 trucks, you say? But what's to prevent that from turning into 20 trucks?
Development agreement.
Yeah.
So I'm saying the development agreement can pretty much stipulate what you do on, you can zone it, but you can stipulate what's on there.
That'd be covered with that or conditional use? But
you'd be better off with a development agreement. And conditional use can be challenged. Easier than a development agreement. It's harder to challenge that.
Either way,
think about I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, either way, it feels like you missed something.
Yeah.
Something wasn't planned for that's not in the public's favor. I need a batch plan.
How long's that plan been there?
3 years. 2 years?
2 or 3 years now. Yeah, I mean, as long as I've looked at that, I would love to be able to access back that way, but it's just...
Have you talked to them?
Yeah, John has.
Is that KT Carts? What batch plan is that?
CMC.
CMC.
Okay, if there's no other public comments, accept a motion to close the public hearing.
Go ahead.
I would say a motion to close the public hearing.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, call to the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Again, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wait, yes. Okay, so now the question is, we're ready to make a vote on this, or do we want to allow them to propose a development agreement, or work with Eric to come up with something that may or may not work for the town?
Yeah, I think that's a logical next step. More specifics on what your ideas are. Like I said, recommend talking to CMC and see if there's not a north,
that will continue
north or west
to
option
that
to access.
And does the town already have a development agreement, Eric, that you use as a template? And
we have a rough draft of a development agreement that we've used on a couple of properties, but this one will be, these uses will be definitely nothing even compared to that.
Yeah, we'll have to rewrite it, but
yeah.
I just want to use language that you guys are familiar with and have seen before, but obviously there's sections of it will be different.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them where we've had separate lots like you have, and part of that development agreement was they merged those together, so we're not coming back later and saying we have two buildable lots, and so we've made them merge that on a couple of buildings that they built, straddled the lot line anyway.
Okay.
So my thoughts are, what's there is definitely not ideal. With all the junk and piles and things out there, and then there's an issue with the house. So I'm really not wanting to break that buffer of the residential either, but I'm willing to look at what the possibilities are. So, don't know that we need a motion for that.
You just continue it again.
Continue the public hearing or just continue?
Continue this item. Yeah,
you continue can. This item.
Right. And of course, 821 will come into play on this property because it's up against our A5. So the 821 in our code acts as a buffer against those properties to protect those a little bit. So
right. That
code also will apply to this property regarding setbacks and additional mitigation that they can do to lessen those impacts. Regardless of a development agreement, that will be in place.
Right. And so, yeah, all that's going to have to be looked at. But
Gary, I just have one more question. Are there other properties similar to this where we're going to see additional requests? Obviously, the highest best use for the property is going to be industrial versus residential, but do we have other industrial properties backing residential properties along the road?
Yeah.
We did. How many do we
all
have?
All along that road?
Six.
You say six.
I think I counted six.
With residential, but
exactly,
no.
Exactly like we are.
And they're
right.
Using different.
I don't know what they're not right now. Right now they're going against code and they're driving across the residential and parking in the back.
Who might that be? Have you got examples of?
This lot has done that before.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sure he has.
I
think everyone along there was doing some of that because there's really no way to get in from the back side. But I think from a precedent standpoint, couldn't you just say, look, you have to, the reason we approve this is because of the development agreement and you would have to do something similar.
I just see it being a tipping dominoes where people we're just going to see more and more of the same requests, and what now is a residential zone is going to be turned into an industrial zone. With a church right across the street and other kinds of potential non-conflicting issues. But I don't know. I just wanted to know about how many homes there were. That
there's about six.
There's five or six.
So the question is, can we mitigate it to make it work, or can we not?
Good question.
I'm willing to look at it. I don't
exactly.
think we should just say
exactly.
no. But
I just wanted to know if this was just going to be a...
And there's definitely some barriers.
Most of those homes along there are not...
No.
Trophy homes, and people would see, oh my gosh, let me do the same thing.
And a lot are not using, you know, that back portion is industrial. And, you know, I worry also industrials could tend to be a lot bigger impact next to residential than, say, commercial. So, I don't know.
Well, then maybe the pressure is saying maybe we need to rethink that zoning at a certain point in time along there, because it is bordering an industrial park and has industrial land to the west. I don't know. But.
Well, the unfortunate part is it's landlocked.
Yes.
That's the hardest thing.
That's
if they could get at it some other way,
right.
But we haven't been able to sort that out.
Well, I think what's happened is...
Unless you change the zoning from RA to industrial along
but then we set Daniel Road up for... Or Airport Road, or whatever we want to call it.
It sounds like to me we were already set up.
Well, it wouldn't help it.
I know the Colemans are hauling trains in there every single day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're in the county. They got a conditional use to do that.
Okay. They're in the county, they're not...
They're in the county.
Okay.
So that area's so messy.
That's actually how we got that. That when we made the town in 2006, they drew that line down there and said, this will be industrial. And that county island or peninsula goes down through there. And whoever annexes will have to deal with it, they said. And here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah, somebody drew a line without thinking about how you get anywhere.
And it goes all the way down to Southfield Road. That strip goes all the way through. And what it did is it created some tax parcels with the division of that line. And some of those properties that actually sold that piece off on the other side that was in the county, not the part that's in the town, but they've sold parcels that's in the county because it had a different tax ID. And so that was all done illegal. So it's an illegal subdivision. If as long as it's in the county, I guess it doesn't affect us. But even the cement plant, you know, when we did it, half of that is in the county and half of that's in the town. So.
I have a question. And this, at what, let's say I was a semi-truck driver and I lived on Mill Road. And I bring my truck home to park at my house at night. Let's say I have two trucks. Let's say I have five trucks. At what point does the town come in? And to your argument,
it's a public road, so they can drive on it.
Right, no, and I'm not, this is in favor of you.
No, I know.
I'm just wondering, like,
there's a limit on parking.
And I guess that's my question is, what is that? Because
I think it's 4 to 6. I don't know off the top of my head, but within RA5, within RA, there is a parking limit.
Do you know what that number is?
Well, the number is...
And does the number differ from full-size semis to sedans?
What differs is the amount of a nuisance it creates.
Okay.
So we've done this with Beathers Trucking, already been to court with them. They had five or six trucks. They'd start them up in the morning. That exhaust would float over to the neighbor's house, and they had their windows open and noisy at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. That was deemed a nuisance, and that use was that we went to court, and they took away that use because of the nuisance. So there wasn't a number of trucks. It was the nuisance it created.
And we've had others that... You know, I had a neighbor that typically had 3 to 4 trucks out there getting it here in the morning. But
the reason I ask is I'm a general contractor and I have a couple trucks. I just want to know, like, at what point am I...
When you become a nuisance.
Yeah, when your neighbors start
hating you, you're in trouble.
As long as you keep building the neighbor's garages, you're probably going to be all right.
Okay, anyway, I accept the motion to continue this discussion.
I make a motion that we continue this discussion of the, is this the public hearing?
No.
No, it's not.
We close the public hearing.
Just be zone change.
Rezone request.
Rezone request.
Okay.
Can you rephrase that?
No, I think that's fine.
I'll
second.
Second.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wade, yes.
Thank you.
I'm saying, yeah, work with Eric.
We'll need some more information on the development agreement. I am personally not familiar. I remember some of those ones we did with the deed restrictions. Did I use the right term there?
Yep.
That's about the limit of my knowledge. I can Google and find some stuff, but if you got some educational stuff for the council, that would probably be a good thing.
Yeah, we can. Those are public documents that we have. I know we did two of them along Daniel Road on the other side of the road. So.
To at least look at options.
And like I say, it'll be really customized to what they want to do on this property. So it's kind of a different
but a broad
use. Yeah, it's a different
umbrella, and then we can detail it underneath the umbrella to be specific for this particular piece.
Okay, let's move to item number 3, which is the State of Carson boundary line adjustment. So anything in here?
Yes, I'm going to take it. So I don't know if you guys saw that diagram for proposed boundary line agreement. I have one copy here.
Do we have it in the packet or is it in the email?
I have one copy here.
Yeah, you have a smaller one in your packet.
Are you Jared?
Yep, I'm Jared. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Jared.
That's okay.
I'm a surveyor for Avenue Consultants, representing State of Parsons. They hired us to do a property boundary survey for them. And when we did that property boundary, when we did that survey, we discovered on that northwest portion of their property that borders the McMillan property. Their fence line and the feed line don't match up. So we were just going to clean up the deed and make the fence line and the property line. You know, Utah has a boundary of acquiescence. So if there's a fence line that's been used by both property owners for more than 20 years, automatically that fence line becomes the property line regardless of what the deed says. And the conditions for boundary acquiescence have been met. We're just trying to clean up the deed to make it official. And what was it you that I talked about, the water?
So, I don't know, maybe if it was on the phone from my other, my question is this is right on the boundary between Independence and Daniel, right?
Yes, so I talked to Independence City, and she was okay with it.
But you can't just be okay with it. If you change the boundary, there's a whole list of things that have to be done, including it has to go to the Lieutenant Governor's office.
Okay.
So I'm saying, we don't see the boundary on here. Does this change the boundary between the two towns?
So here's the boundary of the town. So it's that line right there. And I think the intention of that town boundary was to follow that property line.
That's my question, is because if it does change the town boundary, then there's even another process we have to go through. There has to be a resolution from both of the towns. It has to be sent to the Lieutenant Governor's office. But I'm not against doing that. I'm just saying there's a lot of work that has to be done to do it right. So that's kind of the main thing, and then the detail doesn't show the boundary, so we don't really know.
I didn't plot this whole town boundary. I know the intention was, so this is the deed line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the fence, the existing fence that has been there for over 20 years.
Yeah. I don't think we want a sliver our town in Independence on a property that's in Independence and a sliver the other way, so.
What kind of space is this?
The dimensions, how many?
100 feet, 1,000 feet?
Let's look at the good question. 1,500 probably. I'm guessing here's 491, 538.
491.
Then you have 538 and then you have 258.
It's
got to
get a little smaller.
40, so probably 1,500 feet.
Yeah.
Give or take 500 feet.
Right.
At least for me, I don't really have any problem with it other than we've got to make sure we're doing it the correct way if it's going to change the town boundary. And then there is also a water line in there somewhere that.
Yeah,
we don't know where it is as far
so
as
that water line. I talked to, I can't remember the last name, but it was Gary on the phone. And he told me about a cistern that's on the, you know, the...
Is that Ryan?
Gary would be Walton.
Oh, Gary Walton, okay.
So here's another one diagram. So this is the property line, here, the fence line. Mm-hmm. This is where the canal is. So the water cistern is right here. The water line is in the highway, and he was told that the water line comes perpendicular straight off that into the cistern here, and the cistern feeds the houses. So if there is a water line over here, I don't know why they would dig and go this way, up this way, to then go back this way. That would make not, you know, it wouldn't be economical to do that. It would cost a lot of money for why. You know, if it were me, I would just go straight from here to the houses. So and we surveyed this, we didn't see any physical evidence of water lines over there as well. And I also spoke with Dave Fuller with the Jordanelle Special Services Chief, and they didn't have any record of that.
They didn't have it.
There is a this other map on Long Ago. Yeah, there's a irrigation company easement, but that runs, it's like a 10-foot wide easement that runs with the highway. And that can remain in place, the boundary.
Yeah.
That won't really affect, I mean, the easement can still be there.
So, any comments, Eric?
Yeah, we don't know where that water line is. You know that our source is further up the canyon. So that line could cross at any point and come down the UDOT right away, which we've been told that's what it does, and then turns and goes up into that property.
Yeah, so that's what Gary told me as well, that it goes, so this is that UDOT right away. He said it's on the southwest side of the road. It runs along there, and he says it runs perpendicular straight under the road, straight to the cistern.
Yeah, we don't know where that line is.
Okay.
Susie, when we took over that water system, said it ran down the highway and turned at that corner of that property, which puts it right within the easement of the edge of that property on the southeast side of the highway, which is exactly what we're talking about here.
Well, I think even if there is a water line there or a water line easement, I mean, that easement can remain in place. Wherever that boundary crosses that easement, whoever services that water line will be able to access that.
Have you looked at the warranty deed?
Yeah, the deed of the property. Yeah, that's how we were able to plot the deed against the fence line. That's when we realized that the fence and the deed don't match up. For the most part, they do. It gets pretty closer to the road, but you can see that it veers further east. Yeah.
So in your package, you have a warranty deed, I believe, that's included in there.
Yeah.
And there's four parcels spelled out.
Yes. Yep.
And non-exclusive easement on every one of those.
Yeah, I think it's a blanket. Like usually, a lot of the deeds have this a blanket easement for it. Either way, even if it is there, like I said, it's not changing that easement. We're not changing the easement of the water line, we're changing the boundary. We can even put in the boundary line agreement that it doesn't affect any known or unknown water lines or any other utilities in the area.
Well, the one there's for stormwater. And I'm thinking that's running right down that fence line because that's the ravine that comes down out of that hillside.
Yeah, I think that might be a little bit out of water there. You think it's that Daniels irrigation?
Okay, so are these four parcels stakers?
Yeah, so staker.
You bought those from McMillan?
No. These are
McMillan.
This is McMillan's property. That's their call out is this warranty deed.
Okay.
Those are all McMillan's. They're calling out four separate parcels on that property. With different.
So in that warranty deed, that's like your Parsons warranty deed, but in there, there's a less than accepting, and that describes the McMillan's property.
So Staker Parsons purchased it from McMillan's, is that?
No, they purchased it from the deed there. So, oh, that's not there. Well, there's, that is the McMillan deed, but there is a Staker property.
Jared, there's a copy of that in that staff report I sent down there, if you need to look at that. That's the packet that the planning commission has.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, so it's like.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, it's like I didn't think so, Staker Parsons deed.
So it looks to me like we've got.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Greg McMillan signing as a grantor.
Yeah.
In 2008, which is like he's selling.
He put his wife's name on it.
Yeah, he's just.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I, because we didn't survey the McMillan's property, I didn't plot all of the parcels that they own. So it does say that they have easements for ingress and egress over the following property. But those apply outside of Staker Parsons. There is a 60-foot wide easement for ingress and egress for sewer storage and utility purposes. I could plot this.
So on the Staker Parsons side, there is a easement.
This is on the McMillan side.
Just on the McMillan side.
So I can plot this.
So if you move that, and the water line is on the Staker Parsons side, then you could run into problems accessing it.
Well, and state law speaks to that. If you move a lot line, you have to move the easement, or else you'll have the same problem that we have on Little Sweden Road. They've adjusted a lot line, they didn't move the easement, and now we have somebody coming in saying, I have a right-of-way right here. And none of the property lines line up now because of the boundary line agreement. And so they've changed the law to make you do that. So that's why this easement is such a vital piece of the puzzle on this parcel, because you look at all the easements that's attached to that. I mean, it's concerning. It also, have you talked to Vic Millens?
Yep, I went and talked to Suzanne. I spoke with her, and she was like, yeah, the fence that's been there, you know, as long as we've been here. She's like, we thought that was the property line. And I have two surveys that the McMillans hired prior, like in the 90s, and that surveyor said their fence line was the property line. And a lot of times surveyors will do that. They'll survey the property, and they will just say that the fence line is the property line. And it usually goes to that boundary by acquiescence law that, you know, that fence has been there 20 years, both property owners have acknowledge and recognize and use the property as if the fence is the property line, then it becomes the property line, regardless of what the deed says.
Unfortunately, that's been challenged in the town and has not held up. So that was the Dean Sellers. So the fence.
Yeah, line. All conditions have to be met. If anybody challenges the fence line, if somebody tries to move the fence, but I've already talked to Suzanne and she was like, yeah, we'll sign the boundary line agreement. We have no problem with that. So, and there's property more. There's prior property corners along that fence line that we found that other surveyors marked as being the property line. So everyone thought that was the property line. There's a discrepancy in the deed. So we're just trying to clean that up.
Yeah, to me, the important thing, well, one of them is the town boundary. And then,
yeah,
I don't know what to do with the easement where we don't know where the pipe is.
Well, but I can plot these easements to see where they fall. And if this boundary line affects them, we could just make that easement bigger.
Yeah. Well, the other thing it doesn't tell us is who owns those easements.
Right.
Did I miss that?
Nope. It just says non-exclusive easement.
Oh, that means anybody?
Yeah, nobody owns that specifically. That's basically okay. A public easement.
So can I access it?
I don't know. It's a non-exclusive easement. I'm sure they're going to say public utility, but
yeah.
But it definitely is a couple of, and then the other thing I've included in your packet was the taxing. So that parcel that the McMillans are on is 10 acres, and that will drop them below the 10 acre.
Does it matter?
It's just if they wanted to subdivide that parcel, they wouldn't be able to. Right now, they could legally subdivide that if they build a road. But that would take that out of there.
They have a house on the 1 acre?
They have one house on the whole acre. It's one parcel. They just, that tax, you see, the 1 acre is for taxable.
The house and the rest is green belt.
Well, that's really their issue, not ours.
It is, yep, totally. That's why I asked if you could talk to them.
So I think our issues would be, where is the town boundary and what effect would it have on the town boundary? And the easement.
Yeah, like I said, when we do the boundary line agreement, we can write whatever easement we need to maintain access to maintain those utilities.
Yeah. So then I guess the next thing to do would be to plot the town boundaries on there, because there's, at least from what I did a quick look, I'm not an expert, but I did a quick look, and it's like both towns have to pass a resolution, and then it has to be sent to the lieutenant governor's office to be approved. And I don't think that would be an issue for them.
Yeah, I think you'll have to you'll have to record a new plat, is the way the state law is talking about. It has to be a recorded plat. If you do that, it's just not a simple lot line. You have to record a new plat.
Is it a new plat for the whole boundary of town, or just that section of the town?
That would just be that section.
Okay.
I shouldn't say that. Whatever the county surveyor wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, I think
when I talked to the county before, we realized that it was the town boundary line. They just wanted the section that it would change. But I don't know if they realized that it was the town boundary. Actually, I think they did. The county recorder's office. They just had us do the section that's getting changed. So I already wrote that up. I have that deed prepared. And we found out that it was private property lines that follow town boundary lines. But yeah, I mean, Stager, they're willing to do whatever it takes to clean that up. I think regardless, the fence is going to stay there, and then whatever you guys decide, the fence is going to stay there. Each property owner is going to use it how they've been using it for the past 20 plus years. Like I said, we just noticed it, and we're like, we can clean up this deed for you, and all of a sudden, we're at a planning commission meeting. Trying to get the town.
Things that are easy don't always be as easy as you hope. Okay. I think you at least know what you need to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you want me to plot the town boundary in relation to our map, right? And then have these easements. Yeah. Do you want me to just email them once I have them plotted?
To Eric.
Okay.
So are you continuing this item?
We haven't yet.
Okay. What do you want me to do with it when I get it? That's what I'm asking.
Come to the next meeting, actually. She's redone this. Tell us what we're supposed to do. And now I have new papers to where my agenda is.
I'm trying to figure out what we're talking about.
So on the back of your staff report, there's some, those 1 through 6 items that cover most of what we talked about, besides the town boundary plat. But number 4 does talk about a new plat will be recorded.
So he's listed some possible actions on the page after that. Here. So I would ask for a motion. Could be any one of those things.
Could it also just be a continued discussion on the topic?
Could be. But I'm not sure that we are going to add anything to it at this point.
That's a long motion.
If you go to the bottom motion, it's smaller. No, below there, there's four motions.
Four actions.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
It sums up 1 through 6.
Okay. I would motion to continue mistake of parson boundary line adjustment with specific instructions to applicant or staff with the above and added conditions.
And that's what you've added those plus the plat the downtown boundary, right?
Yeah.
Just that section though, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we can do the whole thing. I'm trying to save the state grounds.
Don't volunteer with me. Don't let it happen the first time. It was painful.
Yeah.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wade, yes.
Okay.
Catch up, Mary. Don't get it. We have openings.
Okay. Move into the town, join the planning.
Oh, I love this town.
All right, now back to the agenda.
Time for VNet. VNet?
There we go. Yes, everything's business license.
So he pulled a permit to redo some electrical at the McLean residence, and to get his permit, he has to be licensed with the town to do business in the town. So that's why that application's before you tonight.
Okay, does anyone have any questions on that one?
So he lives in the town, he just didn't have a business.
Right.
License.
Well, it didn't matter, he lived here. He wants to get him to do some work in the
town. Do business.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So he's getting his license.
Yeah. We've been kind of sticklers on that. If you're going to do business in the town, you should have a license in the town. So we've got some feedback that people don't think that's correct, and we say it's okay. You don't have to work in the town.
815 is right down the street. I don't know exactly
what it's east of you. Is he living in Richards?
Yes.
Old house?
Actually, Darwin's.
Oh, Darwin's.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has an asphalt coating company. He has a few companies. He's.
Okay, do you know which house? It's kind of like, it's got to be with the glass. It's not.
It's got the trailer storage in the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Anyway, accept the motion on. This one?
A motion to approve the business license application for BMAC Construction LLC.
Okay, is there a second?
A second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wade, yes. Okay, planner report. It should be in your packet. Do you have any questions for Eric? Or Eric, do you have anything for us that's not on the report? Clarification.
Well, just while you're looking at that, they're underway putting in the water line on 3000 South of Daniel Road at the trailer park, so you'll see some construction going on there. We finally got to a amicable solution on the contract, and that work is being done as we speak. They should have cut the line today and hooked in.
There's a lack of an amicable solution or agreement
Did that put it on pause for a while? Because it seemed like they dug it up.
It was, yeah, it was. They had some, we had some issues going back and forth. It has state funding involved with that project, and unfortunately, they wanted the contract solid before they would free up the funds from the state, and we couldn't get to that point for a while, so.
On the Jason Whaley property, it says fire denial, so the fire department won't approve there?
So he put in his application for building a residence.
Right.
And they won't pass his plan because there's not a fire hydrant within 600 feet.
Oh.
And so we're looking at extending the water line down on that end. We're working with Jason to try and work through that. He's a little frustrated because of the hoops we have to jump through. But we're regulated by the state, so
sure.
Drinking water has a big stick over our heads, so we just have to jump through those hoops.
I don't know where Valley View Road is.
That's where Chip Turner lives.
Oh, okay, that little circle.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So we continue to work through that with Jason. We put it out to bid. We had two bids come back. We disqualified one of the bids, and so we're still working through those bid processes. If you see something going on, you'll know that's
what's going on. Okay.
Yeah.
I just had not ever seen it denial like that. I'm like, huh.
Yeah, if the health department or the fire department, we just send those plans out to them departments, and they either give us a letter and say they like it, or they say we don't.
No.
And that puts a stop on that application.
Yeah.
So it just stays until that requirement's met, because we're not the authority on that.
Or they give optional requirements, because I think there are other things they can do, but
yeah, whatever it takes to satisfy those departments, and that's what that our say is. If you get a letter, we're good. So
no letter, not good.
Yeah, we just don't have the expertise to go against them.
Yeah.
So that we let them do their job.
Okay. Anything else?
Any updates on the residential building moved on site without a permit, or the Barnyard Animal Farm on 600 East?
So yeah, there is an update. We sent letters out, and we have not had full compliance yet. We did see some animals go away. The number dropped drastically, but it's still not in compliance. We got back Mr. Fage's letter would not be accepted, so it came back. So that was that just happened this week, that the attorney wrote me and said that letter has been returned. So they did send it in the mail as well as signed for it, but they wouldn't sign for it. So
they just formally ignored it.
Yeah.
And that's for the residents.
That's for the animals.
That's the
He's
animals.
The owner of that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The residents is just that building that they moved on the corner of 3000 South and Mill Road.
Yeah.
So they could put a tarp over it, and now the tarp blew away today.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The mayor called and told me it was tarped off. But there's still no lights on in there.
There are no. I've not seen any anywhere.
Yeah, I haven't seen anybody living in there, but it's the fact that it was moved is obviously the infraction that we went after. Easy to prove.
Yeah, it didn't used to be there.
Right. Google Earth is our friend.
It's easy to prove.
Now you see it, now you don't.
Now it's there. Now it's tarped. Why did you tarp it?
Yeah. So have they responded?
They have not responded. So what we're doing is there was a 30-day window for them to comply, and the mayor says we're waiting 45 to see if they comply, and then we'll send a second. Start our next action is what he's telling me.
Is compliance moving it off the property?
Something, communication, working towards something, ignoring won't work.
Yeah.
So.
Is that a owned, inhabited property? Is that a rental?
Yeah, that they live in that yellow house right there on the corner. So that's their field. They drug it into.
Okay.
But the owner doesn't live there, do they?
I believe the owner does live there. They approached the town. If you remember, they came in front of the board and wanted, he owns a towing company, and he wanted to make that a towing yard.
Jeez.
And we told them that ain't going to happen, so.
Because I, in an unrelated instance, we're talking about the corner of Mill Road and 3000.
Right. Your neighborhood, Scott, your neighborhood.
Yeah, my neck of the woods.
That's right.
Well, they had pit bulls getting out, killing chickens all up and down Mill Road. So I contacted the owner, Molina is the last name, at least on the...
Right, the tax record.
The tax record.
That's all we can do too, is say...
But she doesn't live there. There's somebody else, it's just inhabited by...
So it's a rental?
It's a rental, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, well, the notice went to the owner. As we do the same thing, we pull the tax record and that's where the things go.
Right on.
So that's what we do. And our attorney says we can go in and mitigate that and remove that, but then we run the chance of ruining something else and being in a position that we can get sued for damages. So that's kind of a last resort. If we can't get the courts to enforce that, we still have that available to us. And some of the other homes that they've built, why they tear down the other one, we've required a deposit that we could go in and tear it down, but unfortunately this one's just a move in.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different situation.
They have a couple motorhomes on property too.
So I see a big trailer in there, but there's no lights on at night in there.
Oh yes, there is, and there's blinds and all the little buildings and.
Yeah. So, while I'm doing my investigation, I couldn't put lights in any of those buildings. So, and I know that there's a porta potty outside.
Yeah. That was there before they moved in. Oh.
And it's not against the rules
not
to have a porta potty.
Not against the rules. That's no.
Better a porta potty than the
alternative.
Alternative. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I know everybody says that, and it's almost in every complaint about the porta potty. It's like, you know, that's not a stickler.
It's better than going on the ground.
That's right. Yeah, that's not a stickler thing. So okay.
The porta potty doesn't. There doesn't have to be like a building permit in order to have a porta potty there?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. I do family reunions down there at my place and we bring in porta potties all the time.
Yeah,
honey bucket, come on in.
It's one thing to have it just for
temporary
events.
Use.
Yes, yeah, temporary, but
it's permanent.
That one's been
permanent
there.
Use.
I don't know if it's permanent. It's probably rented. The guy's probably servicing it every week. It's like.
That's pretty permanent.
As long as it's serviced, I guess. And license, that's scripture.
Yeah.
To some extent.
Well, hopefully the motorhomes aren't dumping.
It's getting to the better time of year to use that now. It won't quite be as bad as it was in the summer. So.
Okay.
You literally freeze.
Or you have to break the ice out before you can use it?
Yeah. All I can do is what I can prove. And so as I get that evidence, I send that to the attorney. And she says, okay, this is enough to proceed or this isn't enough to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're really at on the rental properties is she's come back and said, this is not a strong case, we need more evidence. So we're gathering more evidence.
So evidence would be if somebody were driving by and they saw lights in the motorhomes and the little sheds and stuff.
Email it there.
Yeah.
Or somebody would. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if we got pictures and things like that, that's evidence that our attorney, she'll their whole group looks at that and says, yeah, we can, because they're the ones that have to go to court and fight that.
Okay,
so. And so if that's theirs, I mean, if you don't like what your attorney says, you should get another attorney. So.
Or you should listen to them.
Right, that's what I mean. If you don't like what they say, then get another attorney. So
does that have to be followed with a signed complaint?
That's just a town.
No, she's just saying evidence. So what I'm saying is, pictures of.
Right. So part of that evidence is you need a victim. And so when somebody signs a letter, you have a victim. So when you get to court, if there's no victim, there's no crime, really.
Gotcha.
So that's how that works. And so you got to be prepared that they may call you to the stand for testimony when you do a complaint. And the town has just set that up with that. If it really bothers you, you want to sign a complaint, then the town will take action on it. If it's not that big of a deal to you, then it's not to the town. And that's the stance that the town has so far. That could change. Heber City has their own guys that drive around looking for problems. But I've told the mayor, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to drive around and look for
look
problems.
For...
I have enough at my place. I don't need to go find anyone else.
Okay. Are we ready to move to item 7?
I am.
Everyone had a chance to look at the minutes?
I am.
Okay, I accept the motion.
motion then?
Provide that motion to approve the minutes for the September 17, 2025 planning commission meeting.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, motion and a second, I call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Taylor, yes.
White, yes. Okay, let's move to item number eight.
Before you do that, can I point out you skipped number five? Did anybody have any questions about the Daniel Town Council summary?
I read that.
You did, thank you.
I'm no longer the clerk recorder, I'm the deputy clerk recorder. I'm also in charge of the Board of Appeals, planning secretary, and everything else that I'm assigned. So until somebody steps up and can be trained to replace me, I'll be doing that for a while. You can see that the public hearing for JDCO, which you had tonight, was continued at the town council meeting, and so that will be on their next agenda as well. It'd be complicated maybe by what you did tonight, so we'll have to make sure they know what happened tonight. Melanie North and Megan Phillips' application for lot of record was denied. They are now asking for information about appealing that decision. So I imagine that will be a Board of Appeals in November. There's new business license.
Doesn't that go straight to the court?
I'm sorry?
Doesn't that decision go straight to the court? That was a legislative trip.
Got a decision from Katie Steffi today. She says it's administrative and it should go to the Board of Appeals.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I know. That's
why we have her.
That's why we ask for legal opinions so that we can make sure we're doing it right the first time instead of having to go back and redo it. So the $40,000 grant for Stormhaven to do the lead and copper inventory out there, that was finalized. Jones and DeMille Design and Construction Management of the Culinary Waterline Extension. That's for the Jason Whaley permit. You know, we run that extension up 1200 South, South Hill Road. Wasatch County Snowplow Services. So we're all set for that. And did you notice that we've moved our office from the former location, and we are now located in Daniel on Highway 40 in the NECO storage building. We're subleasing from Cayune Engineering. It's on the ground floor, so we're ADA compliant finally. Proud of that. So you'll have to come out and see what we're doing out there.
I have to see the new office. Do you have a sign up now?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's just temporary, but we do have a sign.
We're here.
Thank you for letting me get that in.
No, thank you. I'm sorry I skipped that.
It's quite all right.
Okay, now, agenda item number eight.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
McGinn, yes.
Taylor, yes.
White, yes.
It's always an easy one.
Barely caught them, Mary. They were on